org, but let's add a couple more voices to this conversation about hate watching. Kalina Baller is the host of the Credits podcast, and she joins us by Skype. Hi, Kalina.
Hi, good morning.
And also with us is comedian Larry Johnson, founder of Cineprov, which is a monthly event in Atlanta where comedians evaluate cheesy movies. Larry also worked as a writer for an episode of Netflix's reboot of Mystery Science Theater 3000. It's good to have you as well.
Thanks. Good morning.
What terrible movie was your episode about?
My episode was The Land That Time Forgot with,
with a terrible
Doug
movie.
McClure and Rubber Monsters and Cro-Magnons.
What makes, Larry, a really good bad movie?
I think if a movie tries really hard to be good and kind of fails, but fails earnestly, I think that's really important. I think if it's like trying to be silly, it doesn't really work as well, because it's just silly. But
right,
and you know, the only comments you can kind of throw at are like, well, that's just silly. But you know, if it's really trying, and I have a great respect for the filmmakers. I can't make a movie,
right?
You know, but I can see when they make a bad movie.
Well, let's hear a bit of a film that you like to hate watch, and okay, that is Showgirls. Here's a clip of that.
Do you like brown rice and vegetables?
Yeah.
You do?
Sort of.
Really?
It's worse than dog food.
I've had dog food.
You have?
A long time ago. Oh, I used to love Doggy Chow.
Oh, it's so bad.
It's so good. It's so brilliant.
So bad. Trace, what are the requisites for a good bad movie?
Well, I think Larry really hit the basis of it. A film really has to have been, had a lot of heart in trying to make a good movie and failing. But there's so much passion. Like, Ed Wood was, you know, got the label of being the worst filmmaker of all time. And through the years of Mystery Science, we proved that's not true. There are far but he had heart. And he put everything into his movie, including all his friends and some of his furniture. And still, we love Ed Wood. One of the films we'll be screening this weekend is Glenn or Glenda. And we love that movie so much. It's like a traveling companion now. But there is so much heart and earnest, you know, intent on the filmmaker's part. And Larry mentioned about, like, silly. Santa Claus Conquers the Martians is kind of falls into that realm of it's silly comedy. And even though that one still works, that one falls outside the formula. It, to me, that was always like putting a hat on a hat.
Yeah, and there's another one that I can think of that sort of fits that. And Kalina, I want to ask you about this. And let's hear a little bit of the 1978 cult classic Attack of the Killer Tomatoes.
The president's got him keeping an eye on the investigation.
Why him?
Because he's got a vegetable garden, that's why, with peas and carrots and squash and tomatoes.
That sheriff tells me there are reports of incidents like this all over the county.
One nut spots a flying saucer, and pretty soon everybody's shaking hands with little green men.
God, who would have thought? All we wanted was a bigger, healthier tomato.
So, Kalina, this is...
I'm sorry.
A movie that a lot of people do hate watch, and yet it was a spoof. It was meant to be a spoof. Mm-hmm. Why does it work, then?
I think that when a movie is bad, or even a television show that's bad, that we love to hate watch, it becomes an interactive experience, and audiences love that. You know what I mean? So in a way, we really, really enjoy being able to say, give immediate feedback to something that we're watching. And I think a show like, you know, Mystery Science Theater really took that and put just our reactions, or you know, what we would like to react sometimes, or how we would like to react sometimes, on display. I think it's brilliant. And, you know, that spoof, it was a spoof. It was supposed to be bad. And it was supposed to, you know, invoke that reaction from the audience. So,
and it does pretty successfully.
I think it did a job.
Yeah. You can see the tomatoes on like skateboards.
Horrible.
So a show you like to hate watch, Kalina, is IFC's Stan Against Evil. Let's hear a little bit of that.
Oh, I told you that baby was trying to kill me.
Well, now, Kevin, it's not a baby. It's a demon.
Whatever it is, it's back.
Okay, so Kalina, what makes this a good hate watch?
It's so bad. It's so bad.
But Larry's okay. over here making faces.
I need to watch that. That's okay. Sounds amazing.
But here's the, I feel so treasonous even saying this, because this is also a Georgia filmed production as well. So Stand Against Evil follows the sheriff of this town that happened to be a town where like hundreds of witches were killed years ago. And these witches and the sheriff have a weird spiritual connection, and crazy stuff starts happening to Stan and his family and the precinct all over the town. And it gets so absurd so quickly that it's almost brilliant. You know what I mean? It's the absurdity is so over the top, and that's what makes it so bad. So I'll watch it, like you played that clip with with the demon baby.
I feel like you don't need to go any further than demon baby. But.
Right. My friends who worked on the show sent me like a couple of screenshots, and I was like, guys, are you serious? It's so great.
All right, Trace, I want to play this comment from an actual psychology professor. This is Mary McNaughton Castle. She teaches at the University of Texas at San Antonio, and she is here trying to explain some of the psychological underpinnings behind hate watching.
Part of why, for example, you're watching a show or a movie that's not very good and the people are dressed well or they're in good circumstances, but it's really done badly and you can kind of feel better. You can either feel better that you're not those reality people who have blown all their money, or you're not the producer who made that horrible B movie and thought it was going to be a hit. So it's a little bit of a way to compensate.
Trace, have you thought about that? Is part of our hate-watching attraction that we can feel better about ourselves?
I don't approach my hate-watching that way. I don't feel any better than the thing I'm watching. I don't feel that elitist quality. I kind of feel like I'm just as good as that. So I kind of feel better in that respect, if that's kind of a weird approach to it. But I go, well, hey, I could do that. At least I could do that. I have those skills.
Yeah. All right. Well, then let me, Larry, I want to put to you another scenario here, because one of the shows I hate watched for a limited time was the ABC Family TV series Pretty Little Liars. Now, I hate this show because it... I'll tell you why I hate this show. Because it seems to care nothing at all about the fact that this teenage girl is dating a 30-something teacher.
Look, I think you're amazing, Aria. When I first met you, I thought, who is this girl?
I'm still that girl. Okay, nothing's changed.
Yes, yes, it has. I'm your teacher.
God.
That's a different kind of hate watching, though, right? That's not funny.
Right, yeah. That's creepy. That's pretty creepy.
So it sounds like to be truly successful entertaining Hate Watch, it sort of has to go so far and no further.
Yeah, I mean, I like Trey's, I don't really consider it hate watching. I don't hate any of the... I've hated a couple movies and yelled at them. But for the most part, I sort of see what I do and you know at Cineprov and what Mystery Science Theater does is we're like a companion in the movie, kind of. We used to do the show completely improvised originally, and I always sort of saw it as like the movie was my scene partner in a scene.
Oh, interesting.
You know, and it was like, all right, well, they said something, and then I responded to it, you know, and vice versa. Or I would say something that I knew was coming up. And,
right.
You know, so it sort of became this symbiotic relationship with the movie, more than just yelling at a movie. You know, and nobody wants to sit and just, you know, hear a bunch of people, especially pay to hear a bunch of people just yell at a movie.
Go ahead, Glenn.
I apologize. What's interesting about that is when you try to translate that into watching television, we don't know often what's going to come. And we don't often, well, we do now because of Netflix and Hulu and whatnot, but we don't get to go back and actually watch these episodes over and over and over again. So often we're looking at them as they are released. And so it's brand new and people are reacting in real time. And you know, they're just like, oh, why would you do that? Why is she doing that? Why is he doing this? And it's a really interesting, it's different, but it's similar, I think, in a way.
Well,
you're making it like you're a scene partner.
Right.
You don't get that luxury with television, I don't think.
I want to play a clip of one of the movies Larry hates, which is the film Independence Day. Let's hear a clip of that. But, Kalina and Trace, I'm going to ask you if there's a relatively unpopular opinion you have. Like, maybe there's a movie that you think is terrible that other people might not agree with. But first, let's hear a little bit of Independence Day, which, again, Larry thinks is horrible.
Ship all banged up! Who's the man? Huh? Who's the man? Wait till I get another plane! I'm lining all your friends up right beside you! Welcome to Earth.
That's what I call a close encounter.
Yeah, he just punched the alien. Trace is there.
It's so good.
Trace, is there a movie that you think is bad that may not be that opinion may not be shared?
I kind of like the film Dreamcatcher, which is based on a Stephen King novel, and I might be the only one on the planet that likes it. I don't think the actors or director or anybody likes that one.
Yeah, I don't think a lot of people saw it either. They were directed by Lawrence Kasdan, I think.
Yeah, it had a great pedigree.
Yeah.
But it's terrible, and I can't stop watching it.
Kalina?
For me, I am burdened with having the unpopular opinion that the most recent iteration of Ghostbusters was horrible. I couldn't stand it at all.
Oh, no, we're going to disagree on that, Kalina.
I know. We've had this conversation.
It's so bad. And we'll probably continue to. But that's Kalina Baller, host of the Credits Podcast. Comedian Larry Johnson started the monthly event Cineprov, and actor, writer, and puppeteer Trace Beaulieu, who is best known for his work on Mystery Science Theater 3000. He'll be in Atlanta as well for some live shows. Thanks so much to all three of you.
Thank you.
Thank you. See you Friday, Trace.